Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
And I'm going to share several verses this morning. But to search me, God, know me, try me. In other words, test me. See what gets exposed. See what rises to the surface. See what gets stirred up that doesn't belong. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and this may seem like a strange verse to start with after this prayer from Psalm, but let's just follow along here and see how the Holy Spirit could merge these together for us today to bring some relevancy to our life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus is speaking, and they're having a conversation here about what Jesus meant by, you know, it's what comes out of a man that defiles him, and it's not, you know, eating without washing your hands and what you take in that defiles you. By the way, if there happen to be some third grade boys in here or whatever, this is not a scripture you can use not to wash your hands. You know, Jesus is talking, and he says this in verse 5. He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Now there, the motive is revealed. Jesus is not telling you and I that we cannot pray publicly. But he reveals their motive, and their motive is they do these things so that they can be seen by others. You know, it's interesting how you and I, you know, I'll just tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. We as humanity, including us in the church, we try to use outward things to cover up an inward problem. And this is what Jesus is really talking about here. He says these hypocrites, or some of the religious leaders at the time, they like to pray out loud. They like to pray publicly in the synagogues, on the street corners. And he says, don't pray like them. Jesus talks about going and praying in privacy. You see, I want you to know that our private life matters very much to him, because that's where the real us, if we could say that, that's where who we are really. And it's not that we're all trying to be fake out in public. That's not it. He's saying that these hypocrites, and we're going to, for this message, I want to bring kind of a general sense of a definition for us as far as a hypocrite. He says, don't pray like the hypocrite. And he says what they like to do. And he says, the contrast is when he says, go privately and pray and commune with the Lord. It doesn't mean that you can't pray publicly. What he's saying is there has to be something going on in our personal private life with the Lord. It can't be just a public activity or a religious appearance for us, and that is all there is. And that the motive there is that we portray to those who observe as if we are holy, we're righteous, I'm good with God, and therefore I want you to be impressed with me. Jesus saying, you can do things publicly, and there may be audiences, and they may notice, but let them notice for the right reason, not because you're trying to impress them, but what you're doing publicly is an outflow, a sincere outflow of what is happening in your private life and in your personal relationship with the Lord. You see, the motive is different. Are we just doing things outwardly to mask an inward problem, to make it look like we're okay? Listen, we've been doing cover-up stuff from the very beginning. You look back in Genesis from the original sin, where Adam eats, okay, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He disobeyed, and their eyes were opened. They discovered they were naked, and what did they do? They covered up. They were doing an outward masking of an inward problem of rebelling. Is it possible that Jesus here is saying, you know, you do these religious things outwardly to impress other people, but personally and privately, there's nothing fruitful going on in your relationship with Him? And I want us to consider that this morning. And this is not a message to pass judgment on you in this room or to pass judgment on me. It is to call us to a point and say, you know what? Is there a personal, private relationship that is authentic here between me and the Lord? Or am I just going through some religious things with occasions of maybe where I feel a little affection to the Lord? But I'm living from Sunday to Sunday, from Bible study to Bible study, and in my personal private life, is there a submission to the Lord? Is there a growing of faith? Is there something going on so that when I do something publicly, it's an outflow of a personal, sincere faith that is manifesting and growing and established in our life? Or is it just the emptiness of trying to impress and mask when in actuality, personally, there's not much going on between us and the Lord? If we were to look back at verse 1 in Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Be careful not to perform your righteous acts before men to be seen by them." Now listen, he is not saying don't do righteous things that people can't see. Once again, he's revealing the motive. They are doing it so that others will see them. That's their motive. Watch me do this great thing. Watch me do this holy thing. Watch me praise. Listen to me pray. Watch me give. The different things that we do. You know, it's an interesting thing. Coming to church as a couple or as a family. You know, you come to church, and I'm going to be pretty nice to my wife because people are watching, and I'm at church, and, you know, wife, I'm going to take his arm, walk close to him so that people can see that everything is okay. In actuality, at home, she never touches you. And you don't talk nice to her. Bring in your kids, talking nice to them at church. And when they run down the hallway and you don't want them to, you say, "Oh, please, dear child, can you please not run down the hallway?" At home, it's a totally different story. What are we masking by outward activity that seems to be spiritual instead of resolving the inward problem? Jesus says in Matthew 15, he says, Isaiah had it right when he prophesied and said, "My people serve me with their lips or by word, but their hearts are far from me." See, that's what Jesus is talking about, these hypocrites that come and pray outwardly, and yet personally, there's nothing going on between them and the Lord. Let me define hypocrite here for a moment in a simple way, and it's this, that because some of you in this room, you label some other people among you as hypocrites, or you feel hypocritical when you struggle spiritually. I want to tell you the difference. Because some have asked me over the years, out of a sincere care, it's like, can I take communion or not take communion? because, you know, I've had this sin, and or, you know, I've asked forgiveness for it, and I committed this sin again, or it's a habitual thing, or I struggle with this attitude, or I forgive, and then, you know, Monday morning comes, and I still have unforgiveness for the person I said that I forgive on Sunday, and, you know, and we go through this whole thing. It's like, you know, am I gaining any ground? I'm frustrated. Here's the difference. A person who is being honest and sincere in their faith with the Lord, not only in their confession, but in their effort to cooperate to the submission of the Holy Spirit and God's Word to have a transformed life. And with that, we all know we struggle. Forgive me of this sin, and you know, you had a pretty good week. You didn't commit the habitual sin, but the following week, oh, I failed. And now we think, well, I'm a hypocrite. I want you to know, there's something called fighting the good faith, you know, fighting the good fight of our faith. There's a thing called, you know, working out our salvation. There is this sincere faith that struggles and wrestles, that our flesh at moment kicks in, and yet we want to live by the Spirit. You know, Paul writes about it. I know what I should do, and I don't do it. I know what I shouldn't do, and I do it. And this battle that goes on. And in no way am I saying that, you know, it's okay, just continue in sin so that grace can abound. God forbid, Paul writes. But in this Holy Spirit perfecting us and sanctifying us and growing us, there are moments where you and I, all of us, are sincere in our faith, hopefully, and honest in our faith, and that we struggle and we trip and we fall, and it's like, I asked forgiveness, and listen, that is a sincere faith that's growing and moving. You may feel stalled. You might think, am I ever going to get the victory? I sing the songs. I read the scripture verses. But, oh, Lord, I'm weak. It's tough. You know, temptation comes, and we didn't run this time, like scripture teaches us. That is a sincere faith, working it out, endeavoring to follow. Something personal is going on beyond the services, beyond the Bible study. It's in our personal faith, our thought, and every day this communication and this trying to follow Jesus and, you know, learning to rely on the Holy Spirit. That's different than hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is, I do these outward things, and in my personal private life, I really have no regard for what God's Word says. And when conviction comes by the Holy Spirit, I dismiss it, and I just want to talk and portray a good game. I want to talk about forgiveness, but I'm not going to forgive. There's an example for you. I'm going to do some religious things. I'm going to pray out loud, and the people are going to be impressed with me, and I'm masking, I'm covering up an internal problem. That is hypocrisy. It's coming and doing the church stuff and religious activities, and outwardly you and I look at that and think, man, they're pretty spiritual. They're doing spiritual stuff. But in the privacy of their life, it's not translating. We choose to not have it translate. On Sunday, we come in here, but we're already planning and scheming our Sunday afternoon and evening activity that is contrary and something improper for God's holy people. That is hypocrisy. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, and we're going to look at verse 12, but I want us to look at verse 13 first. It says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Turn to the person next to you and say, God sees all. God sees all, you know. Kind of say it in a voice that kind of strikes fear, but, you know. The reality is, God sees all. Not just our actions. Whoa. Not just our outward actions or just the words we say. He looks beyond that, and your heart, my heart, our intent, all the stuff in, you know, where we make decisions and where we feel things and all of that, He sees all of that. It says, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. It's back to the beginning. What'd they do? They covered up. It says here in Hebrews, hey, listen, you can't cover up anything. God sees it all. He sees it all. That's why we pray Psalm 139, search me, know me, show me. Why I pray, walk with us down the hallways of our life. You know, lead us into the closets and the secret places. Show this stuff to us. It's painful. We'd like to ignore it. Or life's been pretty good. Don't mess things up. Don't stir things up. Let me just stay at this status quo growth and faith level. And God is saying, listen, Jesus died. And here's the deal. We go through so much effort and mental planning and try to build new habits of masking things to fool everybody so that we don't have to go through and really resolve anything internally. Listen, you're going to go to communion this morning, and you and I are going to listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, and going to say, before we eat the bread and drink the cup, each person is supposed to examine themselves. In other words, is there sin? Search me. Is there things I feel convicted about? Are there things in my life that are contrary to the life of a Christian? And I'm supposed to confess those things. And to be able to confess those things, I first have to agree with God over that it is sinful. And so we come into agreement with God, we confess it, and at that moment, you know, we are saying, forgive me, and I agree with you. And I want this to be resolved. We're addressing it. I want to be cleansed. But here's the thing. Sometimes we confess the action, but we're not really looking deeper where he wants us to confess what's wrong. In other words, Lord, forgive me for unjustly yelling at my child this morning in the house. The problem was probably not the outward action. I mean, it wasn't right, and we should ask forgiveness for it, but do we stop there? Instead of looking deeper and saying, and there can be a variety of scenarios, obviously, but instead of saying, you know, the reason I'm doing that is because it's kind of what I saw growing up, and my father didn't have any patience for me, and he was mean to me, and I'm still hurt from that. And it still has an influence on me. Now, I need to come to a place where I confess that and resolve the internal problem and not just look at the outward symptom or the outward result. Oh. See, that takes the Holy Spirit to lead us on a tour of our own self. Search me. Look at me, know me. Because all of this comes from in here. You know, verse 12 of Hebrews 4, the Word of God is able. It's living. And it has the ability to discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 15. And I'm gonna read this to us. Matthew 15. Jesus says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. This is what defiles a person. See, this is that question and conversation they're having about What do you mean? We don't have to wash our hands and all that. What that doesn't make us unclean what we take in, but what comes out of us. And Jesus is talking to the disciples now, and he says, listen, it's what comes out of the mouth that proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles a person. For out of the heart, and this is where God looks. See, this is where most people can't see in us because we look on the outward. It's why we're so into masking and covering up. But God looks on the heart. You'll know some weeks ago when we talked about Samuel going to anoint David, the next king after Saul. And he went and he looked and he saw the sons, and he saw, looked through the sons of Jesse, because the Lord sent him there and said, one of his sons is going to be king. I want you to anoint him. And he meets the oldest son, and Samuel, the scripture kind of describes him a little bit. He thinks, surely this is the next king. And God arrests Samuel and says, Samuel, people look on the outward. I look upon the heart. He says, this is not the next king. And he goes through the process, and you can read the story in Samuel. It's why Jesus can say, do not do like the hypocrites do. And outwardly, their motive is to impress or for us to think they're spiritual. Rather, have something going on personal and private with the Lord. And when the stuff comes out where there's an audience, it's an outflow of what is authentic in a person's life. Not a facade, not a mask, not a portrayal that deceives us into thinking over time that we're acceptable. When God says you're empty and you're poor in spirit. And so Jesus says here in Matthew 15 about it's what comes out of us, comes forth from the heart. Listen to this. For out of the heart come evil ideas, evil thoughts. Murder. Out of the heart comes adultery. Out of the heart comes sexual immorality. Out of the heart is where theft comes. Out of the heart is where a false witness comes. Now, I want to talk about this in a second. And he says, another thing is slander. Now listen, this is not the full list. He's giving examples. The list is extensive as there is the number of sins and attitudes that we can have. That's the full list. Jesus is saying things like this. It comes from within. And that's why God looks here. He's not fooled by my outward expressions as if they're holy unless there's something personal and private that's fruitful that's going on between me and him. And then the motive, when the outward things come, they are an outflow of my relationship with him. I'm doing it for him. I'm not doing it so other people go, wow, you know, he, she, they're pretty holy. Oh, they are really faithful. Jesus lists these things, and this whole idea of a false witness, you know, don't limit it to, well, I'm going to take a bribe to say something evil that's not true against someone else. See, that's a false witness. I'm going to say something that's not true as if it's true about somebody because I'm receiving some kind of benefit on the side or behind the scenes. It's not limited to that. Jesus says, don't pray like the Pharisees do out in public, and yet personally there's nothing going on between them and him that is fruitful. You see, that's a false witness. We are falsely witnessing and doing religious things. And yet, the reality is, there's nothing going on between us and him. We go to communion this morning, and we don't want it to be just some religious outward expression. There has to be something personal that's going on. It's why Paul writes what he writes to us. Judge yourself. Don't just drink and eat in an unworthy manner and celebrating his body and blood without doing the personal homework first. Don't do the outward thing without taking care of the personal. Don't just cover up and spend all this mental energy on covering up. Why don't we consider spending the energy of solving and resolving the real issue within us? So that there's sincere faith there. It's authentic. It's real. And when we pray, it's in private, so that when we pray in public, it's not to impress people. It's that we already have something going on that's fruitful and real between us and him. how sad it is as believers for us to continue to feed the flesh. It's a struggle and a wrestle for all of us in this room. But it's interesting that Christ gave his life and the Holy Spirit lives within us. And we continue to sow to the flesh, and we only sow to the Spirit when it's kind of convenient. You know, and in sowing to the Spirit, a lot of what we do is actually private. It's personal. Let me put it to you this way. Do we have any of our farmers here this morning who do crop? Put your hand up if you're here. I know we have farmers. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Do you do crops? Yeah. Okay. You rent it out. That's good. Darren, you do livestock mostly, right? Do you do any planting?
Not really.
Not really. Yeah. So we don't really have real farmers here. No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with you. I had to take a shot at you. Bob Frisky, I'll use him, and he was in the early service. He does livestock. He's also done crops. You know, when he plants his crops, he usually just kind of goes out and takes care of business and does it privately. Now, somebody might drive by and see him out there, but I don't know of a time where he's invited everyone to come out and watch him sow seed. Come on out. I'm going to plant my fields. I want everyone to watch me. See, sowing is a lot of what we do is in private. And then it pops up and it bears fruit. The fruit of darkness or the fruit of light? The fruit of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? Look, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6. He writes, he says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from that flesh reap corruption or destruction. To the one who sows to the Spirit, they will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Now we're going to read a little more, but I want to pause for a moment. Listen, the more we mask and cover up rather than dealing with the real issue, I want you to know we're only sowing to the flesh. Though we come to church, we sing, we might pray, we might do a lot of religious things, we might even volunteer, we might even tithe. But until we address the real stuff in here, we're going to keep feeding to the flesh, feeding, you know, the works of the flesh, feeding to the cover-up. Listen, until we really forgive, if we resist, we keep talking about what's been done to us. We keep, you know, sharing it. We keep stirring up trouble around it. We keep trying to justify, you know, why we feel like we do. And then when we tell somebody, we feel like we're justified to have resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness. And it's just something we constantly treat. Listen, every time we begin to do that, we just keep feeding the flesh. Instead of sowing to the Spirit, confessing unforgiveness, working through forgiveness with Him, working through the feelings of unforgiveness, changing our attitude, allowing Him to do it, talking about forgiveness, reading about forgiveness. See, now we're talking about forgiveness. Now we're thinking about forgiveness. Now we're getting the release of forgiveness. Instead of this, I have unforgiveness, and I'm not going to forgive them, and this is what they did, and this is what they did, and this is what they did. And we start talking about what Jesus did for us. See, now all of a sudden, it's gotten real personal, and something's going on behind the scenes of what we put out here. You can use any nature of the Spirit, character of God. You know, I just used unforgiveness and forgiveness as just one example. Are we sowing to the Spirit? Because we will reap. Now, some of you say, I've said to the Lord, I forgive them. But just moments later, I feel that unforgiveness come back. Hey, welcome to the fight. But listen to what Paul writes right after he says, if you keep sowing to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. And then he says this, don't grow weary in doing what's right. Don't grow weary in doing the good thing. For in due season, you will reap if you do not give up. See, that's the difference between the person who struggles, they wrestle, they confess, they want to do it right, they ask for his help, and they begin to walk, and they stumble, and they trip a little bit. But you know what? They keep sowing to the Spirit. In the tripping up, they don't just keep sowing to the flesh, they sow to the Spirit, and they begin to do what's right, and they keep doing what's right, and sometimes it's tiring, and sometimes it's hard, but in due season, it will bring forth fruit if we don't give up. Don't give up. You wrestle with something? I'm telling you, that does not make you a hypocrite. If you don't address it and you just keep doing religious activity, we will deceive ourselves slowly as if we are acceptable to God, and the reality is we become empty and we become hypocrites. Rather than continuing the struggle, continuing the wrestling day after day, allowing Him to develop us and grow us and be honest with Him, and we don't just mask things and cover things up for the motive of you know, people thinking, hey, everything's cool. Listen, rather than, you know, taking your husband's arm here at church, and yet at home you never touch him, you keep doing that, you are sowing to the flesh. And you're not resolving the real issue. Nice to your kids in public, but at home you're a terror? Quit masking it. Solve the issue. Let something personal and real happen in our private life so that when we do things publicly, there is no danger of being a hypocrite because there's something personal that's authentic. Yeah, we stumble. Yeah, we trip. But we don't give up and we keep sowing to the Spirit. We keep sowing to the Spirit. Because the reality is this, Jesus died on the cross, and I believe in Him, and I asked forgiveness. Well, that salvation is free, but you and I have to sow to the Spirit. The Spirit by which we have been forgiven, we're supposed to forgive others. And if we don't forgive others, the forgiveness we think we have from Him isn't happening. How is it that we think we can receive from God that which we withhold from others? It's contrary to who He is and His principles. Maybe you're here and you struggle with, I don't know, unforgiveness. Or you just think, well, they hurt me or they did this. They're a hypocrite. Well, from your expectation and your view, yes. But let me share something with you. If you don't give them forgiveness and work that through in your personal life, now who's the hypocrite? It can be a process. And in the process, it doesn't make you a hypocrite. But if it becomes a life pattern, you have sown to the flesh, and it's starting to show up. Because the things that are in our heart will start to expose themselves. And what happens is when we start to realize it's exposing ourselves, exposing us, now then we start to overcompensate. This is just that we do this, that we do this. You know how when you're weak somewhere, you try to act like you're not weak in that area? It can be, I don't care. It can be kickball, volleyball, whatever you want. It can be real life issues. You don't want to appear to be weak, and you want to appear to be strong and all of that, and you want to mask it. And then when the weakness starts to show, sometimes we overcompensate so that nobody knows we're weak. It's interesting how we do this spiritually. I've watched this over years of just being in the ministry and being with people, to share a couple of scriptures. We're supposed to speak the word of God to one another, encourage one another. But when somebody comes and they just, it's not like just adding to the conversation. They want to like overcompensate and show all their Bible knowledge. And it's like, oh, hey, that's great. Oh, they know the word. Oh, that's great. And all of a sudden, it doesn't become this natural, and I don't mean natural sinful, but a natural outflow of a person's life. And they're just kind of trying too hard. And it might be in this area, or it might be another area of, Christianity, or so. And they're overcompensating because over time, this sowing of the flesh is starting to spill out. It's coming forth from the heart because they never resolved it inside. And now they overcompensate. Or they begin to explain things away. I start to go, something's not right. Something's out of order behind all of this, because they're just overcompensating here. They are really working hard at masking something, because personally, it ain't going on. But out here, they want me to think, they got it together and they're spiritual. They want others to look at them. Like, hey, wow. Whew, I really admire them, because we're looking on the outside and we can't see the heart. And I'm not suggesting to you that you got to walk around suspicious now, people. In our conversation, they brought up three scripture verses. I think that's a little excessive. After all, pastor did say they would overcompensate. Yeah, something must be wrong with him. That's not what I'm saying. You're not supposed to walk around, be suspicious, and who's the hypocrite, and I think they are, and they disappointed me, and they didn't show up at this, and they didn't do that. No. Jesus refers to the hypocrites. I want to point this out. Jesus refers, don't be like this, and he brought it back to them. Now you make sure something's going on privately, not just publicly. He only cast eye on them for a moment and brought them back to the point. You make sure something's going on in your private, personal life and faith with Christ that's real. So that when the outward stuff is done, it's an outflow. It's not to impress anyone else, because God sees through all that stuff that makes him nauseous. Don't give up in your struggle. Be sincere with him. Wrestle through it. Don't throw in the towel. In due time, there will be fruit and you will reap. I don't know the gestation period of everything. Some plants have this, some animals have a gestation period of this. When it comes to spiritual things, it seems like some things come up and are fruitful right away, and other things, man, it's like, is there ever any fruit going to come from this? I've been working so hard to try. Listen, don't grow weary in doing what's right. Sometimes it's not the point of the fruit. Sometimes it's the principle of doing what's right. And in time, the fruit of that and the approval of that, of, well done, good and faithful servant. You're struggling with something, and struggle, fight, and have it out. But don't throw up the towel. Keep doing what's right. For those of you in this room, you're masking things. You need to pay attention and allow the Holy Spirit to give you a tour of every part of your life, every part of my life, so that I can solve what's really going on and spend my energy there and living the life that he purchased for me on the cross. We like the idea of salvation, and we like the idea of change and becoming like him. But some of that is uncomfortable when he starts digging deep, and it's time for us to resolve some things. And I'll tell you, flesh attracts flesh. And if you've been bitter for a long time or holding offenses against someone else, it's amazing how quick, when we don't resolve it, when someone else hurts us, now it's like a magnet. And now everybody disappoints, and everybody disappoints, and I'm angry at a lot of people. Oh, I pray about it as if that solves it. It takes more than prayer. It takes a decision and a choice. Faith and works go together. The faith that I'm supposed to forgive, that God's going to help me, and my choice to cooperate with forgiveness. Whatever it is. We're going to go to communion. And we're supposed to examine ourselves. It's a time where we come into agreement over what sin is in our life. Now, some of you, and there's been times in my life where processing this and having this out with the Lord, and it takes longer than the couple minutes provided in a church service. You see, we're not supposed to eat this bread and drink this cup in an unworthy manner, because there are consequences for that. We're not supposed to be masking stuff. It's time for us to come into agreement, allow him to expose things to us. Search me, know me, try me, test me. See what comes out. And have I been sowing to the Spirit over this? Or have I been slow, sowing to the flesh and nurturing this evil thing in my heart? Let's get to the real issue and not just ask forgiveness for the result or the symptoms of a deeper issue.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.